We're on Daf Lamed Dalet at the Mishnah.
34
Lintzes should be Baal Tosef for Shavuos.
Yeah,
yeah.
Not for absolutely. Shamsi, over here.
Save your seat. Just to the left.
Move over. Okay, we're just getting started. Tinaka Shetonu Te'enim L'Shabbos. If you had little children, they hid the figs for Shabbos, for Shochach La'Asun, and the father, forgot to take Meiser from them. So they can't be eaten Meitzei Shabbos until afterwards. In other words, Shabbos, the Shabbos was Kaveya that you can't eat these pears even after Shabbos. So not only can't you eat it on Shabbos, but you can't eat it after Shabbos as well. Why does it say the father forgot?
Should have been the mother.
So what about the children themselves cannot separate the Meisers, because only children, only adults, are qualified to take Meisers. Right? They're not only qualified, I'm not talking about Chiyuv. They can, a Ketanim cannot be Mafresh Meisers. So, it says over here, so he brings it, it says with Shachach, that he forgot. But the Mishnayis in the standard text and the Bavli says Vishokhu, they forgot. Meaning, it sounds like the kids forgot. So, again, okay, this is very important. So, the text of the Mishnah and the text of the Mishnah in the Bavli says Lashon Rabim Shokhu. Whereas our Mishnah in the Yerushalmi says Vishokhach.
Could be adult kids, but they don't have bilis.
No, that's not the Pshat.
No.
So he says maybe it means that not that they forgot to take the Meisers, but they forgot to tell their father to take the Meisers. Okay, whatever. This is a small detail. Now,
someone is allowed to take Meiser off as something they don't know.
Only you get permission.
Right. Yeah, that's a whole thing all by itself. Let's see. It says over here.
It says we'll find out when we get to 34B.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go by job. So, Kalkalas Shabbos. If you have a Shabbos basket, so you have a basket which you're gonna, you know, like you have a Shabbos talazekel, and you also have a Shabbos basket where you're gonna keep all your fruits designated for Shabbos. So, Bishamai Pachim. Bishamai says that before Shabbos begins, we're talking about, you put the Meisers in there. I could have put it in there on Thursday already. Well, COVID Shabbos, Bishamai says it's, you don't have to worry about that. Up until Shabbos, you can continue to eat a Derech Arai. Okay? What was that Machalikas? Remember we had a Machalikas? Remember we had a Machalikas between Bishamai and Bishil? Two Hanhagas, remember? The Bishamai would find something good L'Kavod Shabbos during the week. He would set it aside and say L'Kavod Shabbos. And Beisilo Mida Acheres Hoysilo, I think it's the Gemara says. Azal Lashon, right? Remember the Lashon? He had a different Mida. That when he said Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, he would find something and he would be have a tachin that he'll find something more the next day. Yeah. I wonder if...
More in Shabbos.
Morning Shabbos, yeah. So I wonder, you know, over here, Beis Shammai Patron, they hold. In other words, it's interesting. You're putting it. It's Beis Shammai who holds that you're putting it aside and designating it for Shabbos. And Afal Pikein, it's not going to be Kaveya. And Beis Hillel Mechayven, they hold no. You're Chayev. Once it goes into that basket, it's already considered right. They forbid the casual consumption. Even before Shabbos, they maintain the mere designation of a basket for Shabbos renders the produce tevel immediately. Okay? So it's very interesting that their shitas seem to be reversed in terms of their hanhaga. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, Ef ha-loikeit kalkola l'shleach l'chaveiroi, that not only is this kalkola a considered a kavias, but also when you're going to send your friend a matona, right? So that's a chashivas by itself. You know, that shows you the chashivas, you know, Hashem Nagu covered Zebazer during your May Sphira. So, you know, the cover that you show your friends when you send them, a matana, that's chashiv, that's keveya. Okay? Designating a basket of produce to send to one's friend renders the produce tevel before he sends it, just like designated for Shabbos. The produce may not be eaten casually. Okay.
It's not really a lift and eiver.
What?
It has a note.
No, you have to take it. What? You're going to have to take it before, yeah. Or maybe you're making a put a note there. Yeah, lo yochal achiyasa sounds like the person, the recipient, has to take the maizos. Right, absolutely.
Which means he's got to know that.
Yeah, that's true.
Usually,
maybe the person who designated it, he said, I want to take a bite out of that. He can't. He's already designated it for his friend.
So it's the sender. We're referring to the sender.
The sender now
okay.
is like he can't take a bite out of it either.
You're probably right. You're probably right. It says that he renders it tevel before he sends it. You're right. Obviously, he won't send it to his friend without being misakin. Okay. Hanoitel zeisim hamaton. If you take olives from the vat, what's the vat? That's where the olives are piled to soften them, enabling the oil to be more easily squeezed out of the press. Okay. That's what he says over here.
The vat is a press.
Olives in the vat are designated for oil production. In our case, you decided to take some of the olives and salt them and eat them. So the Mishnah is considering whether salting the olives makes them tevel. Okay. Hanoitel zeisim hamatan. So you're taking out some olives from this vat where they were designated for oil for it to be squeezed, but then you're taking a few out and you're going to tevel echad echad melchol eichel. You can dip one olive at a time in salt and eat it without taking off maizos. And malach v'nasan l'fon of chayev. But if you salted a pile of them, then you have to.
It's a halachot de'acharei. So if it's there,
correct.
It's yours.
Correct.
What's considered a pile? How many?
How many? Two.
Two.
Yeah, I think so.
So more than two.
Two or more.
Two is a pile?
Yep. Yep. I think it's a one at a time, or otherwise it's considered.
What's the shear for how much salting you have to do? What does it mean?
Just dipping it in salt. Just dipping it in salt.
The whole thing or just part of it?
Yeah, just rolling it. Yeah. You just like you normally do. Yeah, me either. I don't like olives. So I don't even. Yeah. In Malach, Menasel in front of his chayiv. Yeah. Rabbi Eliezer Oimer, he says what? Min hamatan hatohar chayiv, min hatomei potter. So if you, let's see, what's his status? Is the person's status make a difference here? I'll make sure I got this right. Tommy person, yeah. 15 says it's a Tommy person. Okay, so the person is Tommy. Okay? So if he took olives from a vat that had tahar olives, so by his contacting, by his touching those olives, so he's matame the olives. So he's not going to put those olives back into the vat, right? In other words, it's a one-way street. He's taking them out, and that's it, end of the line. When something reaches the end of the line, what do we call that?
Gemar.
So therefore, he is going to be chayiv. That's what it says here.
Is he going to eat him?
In other words, I'm talking about, yeah, but I'm saying the before he eats them, what's the din?
Yeah.
So this is saying it's a little tricky. So if he's taking it from something where the vat is tahar, so the option to return it is not there because he's tomei. When he touched them, he was matame the olives. He won't return them. Therefore, it's the end of the line, and therefore it says chayev min hatomei. But if the vat was tomei, now he has the option of returning it because he didn't, it's lemala v'lemayrid, right? It's not going to make a difference. So therefore, since there is an option to return it, it's not considered a gemar. That's what Rabbi Eliezer says, okay? And it says, Neshul Matzah Asamayser. Okay, next. Now, what about drinking wine? Shaisin al-Hagas, you can drink wine over the wine press. So this is a funny thing. What does it say? Over here. Let's just read the whole thing. Whether the wine is diluted with hot water or cold water or potter, is exempt. The beer of mayor. So it says over here in 18. Let's see what it says here. Although diluting wine before drinking it is an indication of formal mode of drinking, because you don't usually drink wine that you drink casually. You're just taking a swig, right? But once you're being mizing it, Rav Meir holds that drinking wine without removing it from the area over the wine press is a characteristic of a snack. Because the location is muchach that it's a snack, right? Okay. Once it's taken outside the area over the wine press, you cannot drink it because it's diluted. Okay, so strictly speaking, the wine is permitted as long as you're careful not to remove it from the area over the wine press. However, as a precautionary measure, the rabbis forbade drinking the wine unless your head and most of your body are positioned over the wine press. Otherwise, you're afraid you're going to leave the wine press. That's what it says over here. So it's rather awkward.
You're going to what?
What?
You're going to leave the area.
Leave the area. We want to have, in other words, we have a certain posture that we want in the wine press. Not only is it the place of the wine press, but you're actually leaning over it with your roiv of gufo. You know, that's what it says.
You're connected to that place.
It's a din d'rabbanan als hecker. Okay, let's just leave it like that.
Als what?
Hecker. So there should be a hecker for you, so you shouldn't make a mistake. So that's Reb Meir. Let's go to the next one. Reb Lazar Reb Tzadok Mechayev. He says he's not masking with these heterim. Right, he's completely. He said once it's diluted, that's it. Doesn't matter how you drink it, you can't do it. You have to take off the ma'aser. Chacham oimrim, alacham and chayiv. If it's hot water, again, this is the same thinking. Once you put hot water into the wine, you won't return it because hot water could ruin the main body of the wine. But if it's cold water, you could return it, and therefore it's not considered a gemar.
We do dilution.
Yeah.
It's with water, right?
Cold water, yeah. Usually cold. Yeah.
So they disagree with him about that.
We don't.
They have a different. Yeah, right. So it's a three-way machlokes, right? So we have, just to review one more time, the three-way machlokes here. Reb Meir, Reb Lazar, Reb Tzadok, and the Chachamim. Reb Meir holds that you can drink it no matter whether it's cold or hot water. It doesn't make a difference. As long as you're leaning over the wine press physically, right? Reb Lazar Reb Tzadok calls it's also across the board. Once you're diluting it, no good. That's considered a kvias. The Chachamim say it depends whether you can return it or not. If you have hot water, you won't return it. Therefore, you're chayav. If it's cold water, you will return it. Therefore, you're potter. That's the three machlokes. Okay. Reb Hamnuno Amar Tinok Shechip. Let's talk to Gemara. Tinok Shechipa Kalkol Lashok. Now you have a child. We had this earlier in the Masechta that if you take a basket and you cover it. That covering it indicates you're done with that basket, you're ready to take it to market. Now, what if a child does this? Normally, we say a child doesn't have any das, so who cares what he does? Teretz is that we say, machshavasi nekeres mitoich maisov. Sometimes, if he's doing a maisa, so it's just over here where he's covering it with the leaves.
If that's so, then there's no tying up the father not being mafish, but the kid be mafish himself.
Kid cannot be mafresh. We've established that already. He has no das.
Yeah, but why can he have gemar?
That's the because it's nikaras mitach myself. This is a special din. That's what Rav Hamlin is saying. It's shechipa kalkala lashok nitpala makam, and he explains it. Maksham shemachshavasi shogolam miskayamis. A gadol who just has to think he's gonna take it to shok. That's enough. Sham, myself, shall cut. What?
Is this the equivalent of like
Mimareya
covering it, and that's why it's Digma Malacha, even though covering the
basket with leaves was in a previous Mishnah.
Yeah, but what was the svara behind it? Why is that
the svara was that shows you're done with it. You're done filling the basket, and you're about to bring it to Shuk. And once you're ready for that, anybody who would come forward and offer you money, even in the field, you would sell it to that person, and that's the svar we mentioned. But it's and therefore you have to be mafresh if you want to eat it. Shom mice, so there mice shall cut miskaimen. Okay, next amid base, lamadal amid base. Reb Zeira bite. Now this is a machlokus. Now the first shita is Reb Hamnuna, the second shita is Reb Zeira. Reb Zeira is about to argue on Reb Hamnuna. Again, Reb Hamnuna is saying that the machshavas of the cotton will help if it's accompanied with a maisa. Reb Zeira boy, klol machshavas shel gadol miskayemes ad sheyiftach l'shuk. In other words, when is the machshava of the gadol have really an effect? When he brings it to market and he uncovers the figs in the market and says for sale. So, otherwise it wouldn't have any effect. So until he actually opens the basket, it should not be sufficient for him to merely cover the basket. He basically argues on him. That's the way he presents it over here. And two, if the child's intent must be accompanied by an action, it should be insufficient for him to merely cover the basket. That's what he tells us. He shouldn't have to open the cover in the market to display the produce. That's a strange kind of question. It's not so simple to understand what's bothering him exactly. I'm not sure. Let's keep going.
It has to parallel the adult's activity that makes it.
So he fundamentally argues on this whole idea that Machshavasi Nikas Metak Maisa, but in the end he agrees that if he brings it to Shuk and uncovers it,
That
would be enough. Mm-hmm. So he's just measuring how far the maisa is. Okay. Masisa pligala Rav Hamnuna. Our Mishnah contradicts Rav Hamnuna. Right? Rav Hamnuna was the first shita we said in Omer Aleph, who said that Mashavasim Kresvatak Maisav is going to help. How do you see the Mishnah is against Rav Hamnuna? Because it says in our Mishnah, notice here it says Shokhu. Interesting, here it's Lashon Rabbi. And then if you have Tinoikas that hid the Te'inim, they hid them aside for Shabbos, and they forgot to take the Maisras, they can't eat it. So you Shabbos until you take Maisra. So just setting it aside for Shabbos doesn't involve any Maisa. Per se, you don't have covering with leaves. You just have a designation. So if it's just a designation, so you see that the maisa of a ketanim it does help, right? Although the children did not perform any action that would demonstrate that they were collecting the figs, the figs are rendered tevel. So the intent of the child, even without an accompanying action, should be enough to produce tevel. This is a very difficult way to learn the kasha. Because nobody has said to date that a maisa of a cotton is going to work. So what's the Gemara asking a shayla from the Mishnah that you see the Mishnah holds that the maisa cotton work? It's very difficult. So the Gra changes the Gemara. And let's look inside the Gra because he says a much better way of saying the kasha. The way we have it that it's a kasha on Rav Hamnuna. He changes the Gersa. He says this is not a kasha on Rav Hamnuna, it's a kasha on Rav Zeira, just the opposite. Let's look at the Gra. Let's look, it says, Hachi Garsin, let's look at Sav Yad Beis, about five lines, six lines down. Masisa Pliga Arav Zeira, right? Tinagin Shetam Lutainim L'Shabbos. Tahar Shabbos Tovelas. Shabbos makes it Tevel. Alma, what do you see from this Mishnah? She'ein Tzorak She'iyya Nikar Mitoich Maisa Shuhu Leikit L'Shabbos Kavakon. The point is, we're proving from the Mishnah that doing a Maisa will be enough to make it so that it's designated for Shabbos. He does some Maisa, he covers over the figs with the basket with the leaves. It doesn't have to be obvious that it's l'shuk. In other words, we're asking a kasha on Reb Zeira. And the Gemara answers, we'll just do the answer inside the Gra also, Mishani, La'alam gam yechipoy tzarchi and yikar v'tak ma'asav shum chapa l'shok. Ha'ka gam yishamas ayri shuhu loiket im dindu mecham. We're talking about a case where they didn't put it aside like I mentioned to you earlier, perhaps on Thursday. No. They set it aside for Shabbos with the setting of the sun for Friday evening as the sun is setting. So it was obvious, nicker, to everybody that this was L'Shem Shabbos because it was so close to Shabbos. So that's where even Rabbi Zeira will agree that it's Nikeres, we talk myself.
The problem wasn't that we weren't clear. The problem was that they didn't have the Kayah. The fact that they're doing
that's not what Rabbi Zeira holds. Rabbi Zeira holds that the fact that it's a question of whether it's nicker. Is the maisa something which makes it nicker? The grower was learning that the kasha was on Rav Zeira. You see that when you designate it for Shabbos, even though you don't have a large maisa, like opening it up in the marketplace, but just he held it was the equivalent of covering it with leaves and designating it for Shabbos, that those were equivalent. Okay? And I will just read it inside. On the Gemara, Rav Zeira b'shem Rav Hamnuna tiftum shaliktum in dudu mechama v'hochiach ma'isa shalhen amach shalasim. The ma'isa is mochiach. Next, les hadar pligal al Rav Yechanan. Now we have a problem with Rav Yechanan. If you remember, we had a machlokes of Yechanan shlokish. If someone went ahead and designated peiros that they were not going to be eaten for Shabbos, I say these peiros are for Moitzi Shabbos, but on Shabbos we're not going to eat these peiros. And Shabbos passes by. Rabbi Yochanan Shita was that Shabbos is Keveya, even though I didn't set it aside for Shabbos. Rabbi Shlokish disagreed, and he held no, that in Moitzi Shabbos you don't have to take it, because since it wasn't designated for Shabbos, Shabbos will not affect those peiros. That was a machlokes of Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokish. We had it earlier in the Masechta. Does he say where this was? This was above on 15a. Okay? And footnote 6 if you don't remember. So the Gemara has a kasha. Last hadar pligal Rabbi Yochanan, isn't this Mishnah going to argue on Rabbi Yochanan? She did Rabbi Yochanan Omar, HaShabbos Tevelis, that Shabbos is Tevelet. And they shalichtum l'Shabbos, because our Mishnah says that if the children hid figs for Shabbos, it implies they're only Tevel because they collected them for Shabbos. But if they didn't collect them for Shabbos, it would not be Tevel, the Paris. According to Rabbi Yochanan, what do you have to collect them for Shabbos for? Hoyim liktum shalo l'Shabbos lo. This is Sharon Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan b'shem Rav Hamnuna afilo liktum l'Shabbos. Oichem im ayr l'yer Shabbos. So what he's answering is like this. The answer, you got the question? Is the question clear? The Mishnah implies that you have to collect it for Shabbos. And if you didn't collect it for Shabbos, it would not be Tevel. But Rabbi Yochanan holds as long as Shabbos goes by, it's going to make it Tevel. So the answer is that the Mishnah is telling me a chiddush, not for what's going to happen after Shabbos, but really it's telling me what's going to happen before Shabbos. That if the children collect peiros for Shabbos, up until Shabbos, I can continue to eat them. It's only on Shabbos that you and further, right?
Because we had before, in the Mishnah before, that Shabbos is one of those things that is Kaveya L'Tevel.
Absolutely. But that was talking about where you ate it on Shabbos. Shabbos kavas l'maiser, karas l'shabbos oinig. Shabbos kavas l'maiser. That's if you're eating it on Shabbos. But what if you're not eating it on Shabbos? So that's a machlokes like Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokish. Rabbi Yochanan holds it is kaveya, and you can't eat it on Moitzei Shabbos. So the question was from this Mishnah. It seemed to say that the children are collecting them for Shabbos, but if they wouldn't collect them for Shabbos, it wouldn't be tevel. The answer is no. Even if they didn't collect the Shabbos, it would still be Tevel. The Chiddush of the Mishnah is, what Rabbi Yonah is saying here, is afilu liktum l'Shabbos oichem him arai l'erev Shabbos. You can even eat them erev Shabbos. So now the Gemara addresses Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shlokish. So 34b2. Afilu alder Rabbi Shimon Lakish, and even according to Rabbi Shlokish, who holds that it's only if it's designated for Shabbos, lesi pligo, does the Mishnah not contradict him? For Latinoi Kisinun, isn't our Mishnah talking about children who designated the figs for Shabbos use, afilu liktum l'Shabbos? Designation of a minor is meaningless, even though they collected them for Shabbos. K'mo shaliktum shalol l'Shabbos, and that should be the same as if they collected them not for Shabbos. Meaning, the Gemara is asking now, the Gemara seems to be assuming I guess like Reb Zaira before, not like Reb Hanuna, that there's no, the Maisa cotton is nothing. So therefore, collecting it is like nothing. And designating it for Shabbos for a cotton is machshav, is no machshav at all. And therefore, it's like you didn't collect anything. And nonetheless, it says you have it, that Shabbos is Kaveya. So they want to ask this as a kasha on Rish Lakish. They just used the mission to ask a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan. Now we're turning around and asking it as a kasha on Rish Lakish. It's a little strange, right? That's 9. Whereas the Gemara earlier questioned Rabbi Yochanan from the fact that Mishnah Jenshin thinks, now the Gemara asks it from Rish Lakish for the fact that it says that the children collected them. Okay. So what is the Gemara answer? The same answer. We're talking about where you collected it right, Samach L'Shamas. Therefore, it's a Mahachah.
So that Maisha obviously is Kaveya.
And at that point, the Maisha would be Kaveya. Stewie's on, yes.
Stewie, you there?